Jude, you know what chapter? Okay. I want to read a few verses of scripture tonight. What we're talking about is the fire, pulling them out or pushing them in. The last Wednesday night that we were here, we preached on the verse here, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. They have run greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and then perished in the gainsaying of Korah." Under this, point in the message, we were talking about where we pull by remembering, but we push by forgetting. God gives us some things that he wants us to remember. If you go down to, let me see what verse that is. I might need to just read them all. But, my goodness. Let's just start reading. I'll get to it. It's between here and verse 18. "These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about with winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage." And he said, "But beloved," here's my word, I couldn't find it a moment ago, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said in verse 5, "I will therefore put you in remembrance." And in the middle of this book, the book of Jude, that's what we're trying to remember, so that we'll always be involved in pulling folks out and not pushing them into the fire. He said, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus." Watch this now. "How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual." Notice this now. "Having not the Spirit." A person that doesn't have the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, according to Romans chapter 8, is none of his. And he's not a redeemed individual, not a believer, not a child of God. Pray with me just a minute, and I want to look at this last thing in these three tonight. We looked in depth that Wednesday night when we started in this topic, when we talked about in this verse where there's the three things mentioned, the way of Cain, and then greedily after the heir of Balaam, and then perish in the gainsaying of Kor. And if you remember, the way of Cain, that had to do with religion, and the gainsaying, or the heir of Balaam, that had to do with reward or money. And I know I'll never forget what the Lord taught me studying that, because actually God gave Balaam permission to do something, and then he was judged for doing it, because he asked a second time when he didn't have any business asking a second time. If you remember, as a matter of fact, this goes well with the lesson tonight. Moses was to speak to the rock the second time, and he smote the rock. You remember that? He was to smite the rock the first time, but the second time he was to speak to the rock, and he said to the children of Israel, "Hear now, you rebels." Remember that? "Must we fetch water from the rock for you?" And one of the things that's really stuck in my heart for many, many years is Moses was calling out their rebellion when in fact there was rebellion in his own heart. And it kept him from going in too. He got to go up on the mountain and see the promised land, but he didn't get to go into the promised land. I'll say this to us tonight, I'm going to pray. Beloved, rebellion is one thing that will really hurt us in our walk with God. if we ever come to a place in our life and God requires something of us that we refuse to do, we buck up against him, we rebel against him, I promise you, you'll not go forward until you go back to that spot and deal with that rebellion. Help me tonight. And I believe God wants to speak to our hearts in this area tonight. And we need to remember, we'll pull by remembering, but we'll push by forgetting. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to be in the house of God. Help me tonight, I pray, Lord, to bring the message that you've put in our hearts. God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The way of Cain, dealing with religion. The heir of Balaam, dealing with reward. The gainsaying of Kor, having to do with rebellion. Take your Bibles and turn back to Numbers chapter 16 tonight. Numbers chapter 16. I don't want to bore you tonight, but I do want us to get across a point in this message, a point in our heart from the Word of God. Something happened here in Numbers chapter 16. The Bible said here, now Kor, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, the sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses. Now, it wouldn't be too bad if they just rose up before Moses, but we're going to find out in the text that they rose up against Moses. Watch this. You're also going to find something out. Listen, this is important. They weren't just rising up against Moses, but they were rising up against God. That's what the Bible is teaching. Watch this now. And they rose up before Moses, certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together, there's the word, against Moses and against Aaron. And they said unto them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. You remember the Bible said of Moses, there was not a meeker man in all the earth. Let me say something to you. Don't ever confuse meekness with weakness. Beloved, Moses was not a weak man, but he was a meek man. He walked humbly with God. And the Bible said here, when Moses heard it, he fell on his face. And he spake unto Kor and unto all this company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him, even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do. He said, take your censers, Korah, and all his company. Put fire therein. Put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. You take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Kor, hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi, seemeth it but a small thing unto you that God, the God of Israel, hath separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them. And he hath brought thee near to him and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also. So there's an element here of discontentment. They weren't content with what God had given them to do. They weren't content with the ministry that God had given them. And beloved, listen, that's a bad start right there when we're not content with what God has given us to do. The Bible said here, for which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against, what's that say? What'd I tell you a while ago? It said here they're gathered together against the Lord. But you see, in another place it said they were gathered together against Moses and against Aaron. I say this tonight, humbly tonight, this verse has got it right. All of them is right. And what is Aaron that you murmur against him? And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eli, which said, we will not come up. It is a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land of that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us. Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. And Moses was very wroth, and he said unto the Lord, respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow, and take every man his censer, and put incense in them, and bring it before the Lord, every man his censer, 250 censers. Thou also and Aaron, each of you a censer. And they took every man his censer, and put fire in them, and laid incense thereon, and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin? And wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, and Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up, and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sin. And they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram, on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children. Remember that? Their wives, their sons, their little children. Something's fixing to happen. Rebellion, beloved, is not a pretty thing. And God will judge it. Watch what the Bible said. And Moses said, hereby shall you know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own hand. Isn't that good? Moses said, listen, you're going to know in just a little while that this is not my idea about me leading this mess, amen, this outfit, these people through the wilderness. It's not my idea to be the one standing up here listening to all the complaining and all the murmuring. But it's the God of heaven that put me where I am. Amen. I'll tell you, there'll come a time in your life you better know the God of heaven put you where you are. Amen. And that way you can take the stand that he wants you to stand. Amen. Because you know, beloved, listen, that he's with you. The Bible said if these men died the common death of all men, Moses said if they died just like anybody else, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, here's what's fixing to happen. God said, because of Korah's rebellion, the earth is going to open and going to swallow them. You think about that for just a moment. Beloved, how many of you seen some of the news where there's a sinkhole? There was a house, and then there wasn't a house. Or there was a road, and then there's a big hole, a big old sinkhole. You say, well, preacher, do you think this was a sinkhole? Yeah, but I believe God made it. Say amen. And, beloved, listen, if you're not standing on Christ, you're on sinking sand. Amen. He's the only solid foundation you can be on. And, beloved, these rebels, Moses is saying, here's how you're going to know that it's not me. They're not going to die just the way other men die, the common death. But God's going to do something new. He's going to open up the earth. He's going to swallow them up. So there they go. Watch this now. The children and the sons of Korah. The Bible said, the Lord make a new thing and open up the earth, swallow them up with all that are pertain unto them. They go down quick into the pit. You think about that just... Oh, listen, last Sunday night, Brother Don stood in this pulpit and preached on hell. You know how people go to hell? Quick. In a moment of time. You know how I'm going to heaven? Quick. Amen. And the Bible said, in the twinkling of an eye, amen, that's how we're going out of here. But thank God I'm going out of way, amen. But quickly they went down because of their rebellion. You say, preacher, I don't know what this has got to do with reaching souls. I don't know what this has got to do with with pulling people out of the fire. Let me say something to you tonight. Even lost people can sense a rebel. Somebody help me tonight. And beloved, listen, it doesn't matter where you go. Don't know one ounce of it around our church. I don't know of an ounce of it. But I tell you, it don't matter where you go. Most of the time, listen, misery loves company. If somebody wants to buck the system, there'll be somebody to join them. Say amen. And somebody to raise up down there at the workplace or down there at the school or wherever. But I'm telling you, God wants his children to live in submission to this book, in submission to the Holy Spirit, in submission to our Heavenly Father. And he doesn't want us to be a rebellious people. Amen? Now listen, I'm not here to tell you what God wants you to do. It's a full-time job for me to know what God wants me to do. But when God tells you what God wants you to do, then beloved, if you're going to be involved in pulling people out of the fire, you're going to have to obey God. That's what the Word of God is teaching here. They're rebellious. That's why I put it in the book of Jude. The Bible said here, and they go down quick into the pit, then shall you understand that these men have provoked Moses. Have they provoked Aaron? That ain't what it says, is it? These men have provoked the Lord. And the Bible said it came to pass as he had made an end of speaking all these words that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses and all the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods, they all and all that appertained to them went down, what's to say, alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation, and all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. This is what I believe. The Bible said they fled at the cry of them. The earth opened up as they were going down, beloved. I believe there were some people changing their mind. Say amen. I believe they were changing their mind about the rebellion. But let me just say this. It was too late. They were already on their way down, and they were crying out. But the rich man was also crying out in hell, but he was crying out too late. Father Abraham, have mercy on me, but he was crying out too late. Beloved, I want to say to you tonight, I needed to go back and read that. You say, preacher, I don't know why you read all that. Because when it said here, the gainsaying perished in the gainsaying of Korah, I believe there's no better way to explain the Bible than just read the Bible. That's what happened in that day. Watch this now tonight. I'll say just a little bit more about rebellion and I'll be done tonight. The Bible talks about Saul over in 1 Samuel. Turn over there with me, please. It's 1 Samuel chapter number 15. Let's look at a passage of Scripture here. 1 Samuel chapter number 15. You remember, actually, the children of Israel had rebelled against God and wanting a king, wanting to be like all the other nations of the earth. God gave them Saul. And in 1 Samuel chapter 15, and we'll begin reading in verse number 10, the Bible said, then came the word of the Lord to Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I've set up Saul to be king. God is saying, I wish I hadn't done that, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord. Look those next two words. All night. Think about that. The man of God is so grieved in his heart. And when Samuel rose up early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Boy, things are sounding good, ain't it? But there's something wrong in Saul's heart. Watch it. Samuel said, what meaneth the bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, I have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen, and the sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Beloved, according to the Bible, they were supposed to destroy it all. Amen. And beloved, I'll tell you, this partial obedience, listen, if you don't get anything else I say tonight, it's disobedience. That's what the Bible's teaching right here. You can't just pick and choose and say, God, I'll do that, but I ain't doing that. I'll do that, but I ain't doing that. Whatever God wants us to do in order to be involved in pulling people out of the fire, we got to do what God wants us to do. We don't get to pick and choose what God wants us to do. I told you some time ago, I used the illustration, there are people here tonight who's not heard it, I know. Here's how most people think you find the will of God. They think what you do is you just give God a piece of paper. And you say, God, you write down what you want me to do. This is how people think you find the will of God. And God just, line one, line two, line three, line four, line five. And you know, Lord, I'll examine that. And if I like it, I'll tell you what I'll do, Lord. I'll do it. You'll never find the will of God that way. I'll tell you how to find the will of God for your life. Down there at the bottom of the page, forget about all this. Down there at the bottom of the page, sign your name. Hand it to God. Tell him to fill it in. In other words, God, you love me. I don't belong to me, I belong to you. Lord, I'm not here to do my will, I'm here to do your will. And beloved, when people start living like that, amen, and get rid of that, any rebellion whatsoever. Listen, we all have flesh. And in having flesh, there's a rebel lives in us. Does not want to do the will of God. But God, when he shows us his will, he's showing it to that one that's surrendered ahead of time. God, not show me your will, and if I like it, I'll surrender to it. But Lord, I'm yours. And whatever you want me to do, I'll do. I'm going to tell you, that individual right there is going to spend his life not pushing, but pulling people out of the fire. That's what he's going to be about, pulling people out of the fire. Watch this now. Samuel said to Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said, stay on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and did evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way that the Lord sent me, and have brought back, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil. Now he's going to blame it on somebody else. He was proud of it a while ago. We brought this for an offering. Now he's going to blame it on somebody else. The people took of the spoil, the sheep, the oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Please listen to this verse. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Beloved, I want to say something tonight. Listen, I'm not trying to be mean, but there's a lot of times in our day, people are raising children, and they think as long as my child ain't into drugs, and they're not drinking, and they're not out here living a promiscuous life, I'm going to tell you something right now. They just act like rebellion is part of everyday life. I'm going to tell you, rebellion needs to be addressed. It doesn't matter if it's you or me. It doesn't matter if it's your children or my children. Rebellion is something dangerous to let it go. I ministered for 10 years of my life to prisons that are full of men that are there because they rebelled against the authority that God had put in their life. They thought they knew more than their dad, more than the principal, more than the police officer, more than the pastor, more than the teacher. They thought they knew way more than everybody else did. And they lived a rebellious life. And beloved, they're paying a price for it. I'll tell you tonight, the Bible's talking about here the gainsaying of Kor about rebellion. God can't bless that. In Isaiah 65, verse 2, he said, I spread out my hands all the day to a rebellious people, talking about Israel, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts, a people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face. Jeremiah 29:30, the Bible said, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, send to all of them of the captivity, saying, thus saith the Lord concerning Shemaiah the Nehelamite, because that Shemaiah hath prophesied unto you, and I sent him not, and he caused you to trust in a lie. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will punish Shemaiah the Nehelamite and his seed. He shall not have a man to dwell among this people, neither shall he behold the good that I will do for this people, saith the Lord, because he hath taught rebellion against the Lord. I just say this tonight, beloved. Rebellion's bad enough, but I'm going to tell you it's going to be a bad day. A bad day for people that have stood in this nation and taught rebellion against the principles of this book that we have before us tonight. It's going to be a sad day for that outfit, beloved, that's been teaching another way of salvation or another way of serving the Lord. I'm telling you, beloved, it's God's way that'll be blessed and will keep people interested in the souls of men and pulling them out of the fire and not pushing them in. It's God's way that'll produce that in our hearts and in our lives, not our own way. Beloved, the Bible talked about these spots in the Feast of Charity. I'm telling you, it's the gainsaying of Kor. It's bad news. It's bad news. I read this story, and I'm done tonight. Someone tells the story of a boy who was rebelling against his dad constantly. I want y'all to listen to this, please, would you? This is trying to sum up something right here. I believe it'll be good. I believe God will get his point across. Someone tells a story about a boy who was rebelling against his dad constantly. Let me ask you something. Is there anybody in this room that ever rebelled against your father? I did. I mean, at times. Is there anybody that ever rebelled at some time against your father? Let me ask you this. If you didn't rebel in your flesh, how many ever rebelled in your mind? Brother Dale, I'll never forget the story Brother Danny told about the little boy in the pickup truck seat. His daddy said, sit down, son. He just kept standing there. He said, son, I said, sit down. He just kept standing there. He said, son, I'm going to stop this truck. I'm going to wear you out if you don't sit down. So he sat down. He looked up at his dad. He said, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm still standing up on the inside. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Listen, I don't know anybody's heart. But God knows whether you're standing up on the inside or not. God knows if he's trying to lead you in a direction and you don't want to go. Beloved, rebellion's a dangerous thing tonight. We need to go with God. Here the story says, little boy's rebelling against his dad. And rebelling, he refused to heed his father's words. One day the dad said to the boy, he said, I want to show you what you're doing to your life. He said, I'm going to put a wooden foot post in the front yard. He dug a hole and he put a wooden foot post in the front yard. And he said, son, he said, every time you rebel against me, I'm going to drive a nail in that post. And Bob, his son, took him up on it. He said, I'm just going to see how quick I can fill that post up with nails. And that's exactly what happened. The post, Brother Thurman, was just full of nails. Then one day it broke the boy's heart because he saw that he was breaking his father's heart. And he looked at that post and it reminded him of his rebellion. And he started doing right, Brother Steve. His dad told him, said, every time you rebel, I'm going to put a nail in. He said, when you do what you're supposed to do, I'm going to pull a nail out. Brother Rose, the boy started living right, and he started doing right, and he respected his father. Until one day, Brother Thurman, every nail was pulled out of the post. The father pulled the last nail out of the post. Listen to me carefully tonight. And he turned and he looked, and the son was weeping. He said, son, I don't understand. He said, why are you weeping? He said, because, Dad, the post is full of holes. Did anybody get it?
We can be forgiven, but we'll carry the scars. We'll carry the holes that rebellion leaves. And beloved, listen, what we're preaching on is pulling them out of the fire. What if we get home and find out because of our rebellion, because we didn't remember what the Bible teaches about Kor and about Balaam and about Cain, what if we get home and find out that somebody saw that rebellion and we pushed instead of pulling? I don't want that on my record, do you? I want to be involved in pulling. God, help us. Help us, Lord. What's that verse, Brother Brian? I think it's over in, is it in the last chapter of Ecclesiastes? What does the Lord thy God require of thee but to do justice and to walk humbly with thy God? Is that close? You want to look it up, Brother Steve? I think it's the last verse in the book of, or the last chapter over. If you find it, Brother Steve, read it. What doth the Lord God require of thee? That's it. Okay, I was quoting something else, wasn't I? I don't know where I'm at there. I'll have to look it up. It's in the Bible, I promise you. I mean, I got it exactly right. What is it, Bob? Well, Brother Steve was close in Ecclesiastes. He was in the same Old Testament. What's it say, Bob? Amen. What doth the Lord thy God require of thee? It's a blessing, isn't it? God brings a blessing to those that walk in obedience to him. I'm just glad you come tonight.